Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, I wonder, are you suffering from climate despair? Well, with scientists predicting that we're currently experiencing the hottest July in 120,000 years, this week has been a stark reminder of the need for urgent action when it comes to climate change. Southern Europe faced extreme temperatures and wildfires, while warnings have been issued about extreme marine temperatures, with sea temperatures abnormally high. So, how can we handle this unknown climate frontier and what must be done? Well, Professor of Earth and Environmental Science at the University of Pennsylvania, Michael Mann, joins us now. And Michael, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. My Twitter feed this evening is full of videos that purport to be from Milan showing a tornado in Milan. Now, I haven't verified it, but that's what I'm seeing. Possibly not true, but I see it everywhere. Hailstones, and we've seen the temperatures as well. We're seeing these videos and these reports coming from all over the world about these extreme temperatures. It's very hard for people, I think, not to start to despair.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be with you. And there's no question, we are seeing devastating consequences of human-caused climate change, human-caused warming from fossil fuel burning. We are seeing these disasters play out in real time, and it's understandable that people are worried. They're frankly scared. There's this sense that have we gone past some tipping point? Is it too late to act? The bad news is we are seeing devastating climate consequences now, and it's a product of, frankly, decades of relative inaction. We could have, headed this off decades ago if we had gotten serious about moving away from fossil fuels, but we're now reaping what we've sown, thanks to a concerted disinformation campaign by the fossil fuel industry and those promoting them. So the bad news is dangerous climate change has arrived. The good news is that the science tells us we can prevent it from getting worse. And there are important developments in the science over the last decade or so that have to do with our better understanding of the role of the ocean and how it can soak up carbon. What we now understand is if we stop burning fossil fuels, if we stop producing carbon pollution, the surface of the planet will stop warming within a matter not of decades, but of years, 1, 2, 3 years, almost immediately. And these impacts that are driven by the warming, these devastating floods and heat waves and wildfires and tornado outbreaks, et cetera, they're being driven by the surface warming. So if we stop the surface of the planet from warming, this will stop getting worse. Still, we are going to have to contend with elevated levels of risk for some time to come, but we can prevent it from getting worse. And so don't fall victim to doom and despair. We can still make a difference.
Well, yeah, except that stopping burning fossil fuels doesn't seem to be anywhere near as easy. And I don't think it even sounds easy, but it's certainly not as easy as it sounds. Is it like everywhere we look in the last couple of years, even just in Europe, for example, because of the war with Ukraine or in Ukraine, there's been an increase in fossil fuel use.
Yeah, I mean, there was a temporary, there was actually a substantial decrease, about 7% in carbon emissions following the COVID-19 outbreak. It's sort of come back. We're basically riding on the plateau right now. The emissions curve is flat. That's better than it increasing. So we were sort of on the side of the mountain, going up the mountain with our carbon emissions. We sort of reached the plateau, the summit. That's a little bit of good news. It's not increasing anymore because there is a transition. It's slower than it needs to be away from fossil fuels towards renewable energy. It's making a difference. The problem is just riding along the plateau, the top of that mountain, isn't enough. We've got to come down that mountain. We've got to come halfway down, 50% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030, down to zero by mid-century. The obstacles are not physical. They're not technological. They're purely political at this point. And so that's the important point. Political obstacles can be overcome. It's up to us. It's up to all of us.
And again, I suppose that's where people maybe start feeling a little overwhelmed about all of it, because even if we do start to reach our targets, for example, here in Ireland, and we're nowhere near reaching our targets, we had a report last week showing we'd had sort of what you've described there when you're talking about the plateau, a 1.3% drop in our carbon emissions, which is better than it going up, but again, nowhere near our targets. But even if we start reaching our targets here, then we're looking at places like the Amazonian forest, you know, in Brazil, being raised to make room for beef production of all things. You know, we're looking at oceans full of plastic in other areas around the world. We're looking at, you know, fast fashion and the dumps that are being produced from fast fashion. Yeah. Indeed, we're buying them here. And then the problem just starts to seem so big.
Yeah, you're right. And we have a larger problem here, right? We've got to find a way to live sustainably on this planet. And we're not doing that right now. And there needs to be a sea change. Sometimes you have to focus on pieces of that problem because we're not going to solve that whole problem at once. There are many different dimensions of, you know, of challenge to sustainability, as you allude to: plastic pollution, air pollution, overfishing, resource depletion. You can go on down the list. So we sort of have to bite off one piece at a time. Let's focus on the carbon emissions and the climate crisis. There are definitely things we can do, and we're seeing progress. We are seeing an increased proportion of energy being provided by renewable sources. We're moving away from fossil fuels. We're just not doing it fast enough. And here's where we all come in, because as individuals, we can't solve this problem. Mm. We have to put pressure on our politicians, on our policymakers, to not be a rubber stamp, a facilitator for the fossil fuel industry, but to serve the people as they're supposed to. And we have to use every lever arm available to us. We have to use our voice, our vote, and every other way we can put pressure on them to do what needs to be done to support the policies that will help us decarbonize this planet while there's still time.
Okay, and let's just talk about the time then, because we have all these targets. And again, when we have these conversations on this program, it really does seem more and more as the years tick on that those targets are becoming less and less likely to be reached, you know, the 2030 target or 2050 target. If we don't reach the targets, is there a tipping point? You're saying at the moment it's game on, not game over. Is there a tipping point at which it's game over?
There's no one tipping point. And there's a fallacy that, like, there's some tipping point that we warm the planet to some particular level and then, you know, everything goes haywire and everything collapses. Actually, my forthcoming book, Our Fragile Moment, is really about the lessons we can learn from past Earth history, from the deep past, about the climate system the lessons in particular that it offers for the climate crisis we face today. And one of the things that, you know, the paleoclimate record tells us is there are times when, you know, the climate has sort of spun out of control, when it was hit hard enough by huge amounts of volcanic outgassing, or when Earth became an ice ball billions of years ago. There are examples where that happened. But right now, if we look at where we are and we look at, you know, this fragile moment that we're in, what the record tells us is that there's still a margin of error. There's still a safety margin. If we can keep the warming of the planet, you know, below 2 degrees Celsius, even below 3 degrees Celsius, we can prevent those truly devastating, you know, possible runaway consequences. But even at that level of warming, even current policies, by the way, even if we didn't make further progress, the current policies that are in place probably keep warming, you know, around 3 degrees Celsius. So that's, you know, that's not runaway warming. There's no evidence that that would lead to runaway, you know, climate effects, but it would still be catastrophic. There are 8 billion people living on this planet with finite food and water and space, and climate change is going to exacerbate all of that. So it doesn't take that much warming to really begin to exceed our adaptive capacity. And that's why we have to act now. There's no one, you know, tipping point. It's not a cliff that we go off. It's a minefield that we're walking out onto.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, we'll leave it there. I'm going to call it a note of hope, Michael. That's what I'm going to call it.
I am stubbornly optimistic is the way
I put it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. That's Professor Michael Mann, who is the author of the forthcoming book, Our Fragile Moment: How Lessons from Earth's Past Can Help Us Survive the Climate Crisis. Michael, thank you.